Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes.
The animatronics are really amazing as
They're really cool.
It definitely helped the actors from what they were talking about. But also, I have to give props to the actors as well, who had to act or react to CG, because back then it was such a new thing, and it was like a big challenge to them. Like, they weren't really sure how to do it so convincingly, especially with like Spielberg making. Like, literally making dinosaur sounds off camera for them to react to.
No, I have to say,
like, okay, now you're looking up at the dinosaur, and it's right there, and it's amazing and majestic, and there's literally like a piece of paper with an X on it, and that's what they were staring at in that first reveal shot. And they said they had to like be careful not to laugh sometimes.
Yeah, I have to say, like, I watched this movie, like, the only time I saw this movie was on VHS, you know, and that can really smooth things over, but I watched it twice in 4K, and yes, if you're looking really close, you can say, well, the lighting isn't quite right on these CGI models, but this movie gets you to believe for 2 hours, like, oh no, these things are real. Like, I'm never thinking, like, there's a bunch of robotics working this puppet, that puppet's out in the rain, I feel bad for the people having to work this. No, like, and it's the acting, too, like you said, Nina. Like, watching it twice, I know Jurassic Park is a movie. These are all actors. I've heard interviews with these people. But when you see them react to the dinosaurs, you believe it and you get goosebumps, too. And you feel happy for these people. And it's just like the power of acting as well as CGI. I don't know why Liam Neeson couldn't do the same thing on like Star Wars, but you believe it.
This is where having a good director comes in.
Yeah.
That was George Lucas versus Steven Spielberg. And Spielberg knows how to work with people. He knows how to get great performances out of people. You know, you had a great cast with, you know, Laura Dern and Mel. I know they're like, I'm just their character names are coming to my head. Anyway, the point is, like, you have great actors, a great director, and he, like, that one scene where we keep talking about, the revelation scene, you know, where you first see the dinosaurs, when you actually think about how it's staged, it's kind of comical. Like, they see the one Brontosaurus and then, oh there's all these other dinosaurs we just didn't notice. That's kind of silly, but, you know, it's just framed and presented so masterfully. But, like, that's really the linchpin of making this entire movie work, is the fact that those actors sell it so convincingly. You have the cynical character, you know, the Gennaro, who's like, oh, we're going to make a lot of money off of this. But then you have the paleontologists who have devoted their lives to this, and they're flabbergasted. Like, they fall over, basically, just in astonishment and joy. And, you know, that really, I think, helps sell the human element of it, and, you know, pushes us over that little bit of disbelief and lets us suspend it. I think it also helps that, you know, even though this was very early in the days of CG and creating computer generated effects that had to look realistic, as opposed to like, here's, you know, a giant spinning gear or something, they still made a lot of smart choices. Like, when you first see that Brontosaur, it's got an atmospheric distance effect on it. Like,
yeah.
There's haze, just, you know, kind of making it a little fainter. And it's not the same as when you see King Kong and he looks kind of washed out because he's, you know, rear projection behind the actors. It's like, this is, you know, this is a humid place. There is atmospheric haze that you see, you know, with the mountains and the trees in the distance. And you get some of that with this dinosaur. And it just gives you a sense of the scope and grandeur of this creature, because it's so big that you're seeing it through this atmospheric effect. It's really, really smart design work, great acting, good direction. Like, just that 3 minutes of the movie, I think, is what really sells it. And after that point, you're just like, you know what? I'm all in. I buy this. This is good. I'm going to watch this and enjoy it.
It must have been so fun for the actors to see that reveal shot, like, for the first time.
Yeah.
Because they had no idea what they were going to, what the final cut was going to look like.
They probably were like, actually, Lord, how will this work? I'm reacting to nothing. I believe in the power of acting, but the direction you're given is impossible. Like, react to a thing that you've never seen before. It is what you've devoted your life to. Go.
Mm-hmm. And Laura Dern said that when she saw the reveal shot for the first time, it made her cry.
Oh, wow.
And I do think that that shot is still, like, very moving.
Yeah. Like I said, like, even the second viewing in a week, I was getting goosebumps and feeling, like, happy for the characters. And, like, going over the math of the movie, there's only 6 minutes of CGI. And as you were saying, Jeremy, CGI is very cheap in quotes, or at least cheaper than it used to be. So it wasn't like, let's just make everything CGI. It's like, no, some of this has to be puppets. Some of this has to be people in suits. He had to be very choosy about what could be CGI. And because of that limitation, I think the movie turned out way better than it could have been if they just relied all on, like, early CGI for everything.
Just want to recommend one of my favorite YouTube videos, which is Jurassic Park without dinosaurs. And it's just that first reveal shot, but they removed the dinosaur from it. So they're reacting to nothing.
It's like Garfield without Garfield.
Yeah, kind of.
It's like, these people really are
funny.
Insane.
I recommend it.
I want to go over just the CGI a little more. We talked about, like, what we feel about it, but the real story of it, I recommend you watch the Netflix episode, The Movies That Made Us, about Jurassic Park. Now, I hate that documentary series. It is, they're, like, burying all this great information with this, like, awful smug narrator. It's terrible, but you actually get to hear the story of the people who put the CGI in Jurassic Park. And it was going to be stop motion. And, you know, Industrial Light and Magic, they did stop motion. It was still the early 90s. And the big nut to crack for them was, like, a stop motion is kind of jerky, but we found a way to simulate motion blur. You can look at these animation tests they've done. They're on YouTube. It's not what was going to be in the final movie, but it was their idea for what it could look like. And you can see the CGI follows almost all the same beats as some of these scenes they already planned out. Well, two animators at ILM were like, you know, screw stop motion. CGI is the future. And they basically, for months, they labored on making a running T-Rex model to show to Steven Spielberg and Kathleen Kennedy without their boss knowing. Their boss at ILM was like, no, stop motion is the future. We're going to improve upon it. But they were like, no, CGI is the way to go. So during a screening of the movie, they basically sneak in the footage of the CGI running T-Rex, and that is when Spielberg is like, this is going to be the dinosaurs in the movie. We're going to use this as much as possible. So this could have all been stop motion if not for two rogue artists at ILM who decided, like, let's try to figure this out with computers.
And the CG kind of scared the people who were in charge of the animatronics.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, they were rightfully upset because it's like, no, I was trained in stop motion. What am I going to do? Well, thankfully, a lot of these people were retrained to be CGI animators. They use their storyboards, they use their animatics. And again, if you go look at that animatic they made in stop motion on YouTube of the T-Rex attacking the Ford Explorer, you can see, like, oh, the CGI and the actual movie, they follow the beats of this. Like, they use what had been planned out for stop motion as the blueprint for their CGI scenes in the movie.
I think there's also some common concepts across CGI and stop motion. You know, when you have models, you rig them in the same way. You have, like, armatures and skeletons inside the animatronics and the stop motion creatures. And those are the same kind of basic principles that CG is based around. I mean, it's a different discipline, but I feel like this is a case where, you know, an open-minded creator could, not necessarily easily, but very conceivably say, okay, I just need to think about how to use these same skills and apply them in a different format. So yeah, I hope that, you know, all the great people who grew up wanting to be the next Stan Winston or Ray Harryhausen weren't suddenly, you know, out of work and you know, destitute. I hope that they were able to, you know, bring their skills and their talent to bear on a different medium.
Well, you mentioned Stan Winston, Jeremy, and that is who is behind all the animatronics. And I believe, Nina, you mentioned the giant T-Rex, or I think we've all been talking about it. It's so cool to see the making of that. It is as huge as it looks. It was a lot more dependable than the shark in Jaws, but still, because it was being filmed in the rain, they had to constantly, like, dry it off between shots because the water would be absorbed by the skin of the fake dinosaur. And it would start to, like, shudder under the added weight of the water absorbed in its skin. So apparently not as troublesome as the shark from Jaws, but still it caused them problems. But I will say, like, when I look at the, I think the Dilophosaurus is the one that spits poison. Is that the name of the thing?
Yes.
Okay. When I see that in the car with the Newman, I'm like, well, that's a puppet, and it's cool. I like it. When I see the shot of the T-Rex roaring in the rain, the non-CGI shot, I'm like, well, that's a real thing. It does not look like a puppet. They did such a good job with this thing. And I think Spielberg was inspired by going to Universal Studios, and on the old King Kong ride, there is, like, a giant animatronic King Kong, and he's like, if you can make that King Kong, you can make a T-Rex. And, you know, Jurassic Park has a lot in common with the old King Kong movie as well. Like, the gates of Jurassic Park are the same gates on Skull Island of King Kong.
Speaking of King Kong, they had Fay Wray visit the set for some reason.
Okay.
On the special features.
Spielberg had that power.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, she was watching the scene where the T-Rex was attacking the Jeep. I'm not sure why.
Was she impressed?
Her,
was
like,
she
like, hey, why? This is kind of like what you were doing. Yeah.
Why did you take me here? Apparently.
I like the little cheats they use with the animatronics, though, because, like, most of the T-Rex puppet is, like, the upper half, and then the scene where it's, like, you see the feet approaching Dr. Grant and Lex, those are just the feet. Like, they didn't make an entire dinosaur. The feet were, like, its own separate thing, and that was pretty important to, like, show the weight of the dinosaur, I think, mm-hmm. to make that, those are, to make those, like, puppets and not mm-hmm. CG.
Yeah, they were very creative in what they chose to show.